Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So welcome back from your hospitality conversations. Today we are, it's a weird transition, right? So we have one service of the year, the first one, and then we are getting into the book of James, which is a whole series. So it can't be anything about the book of James, you know, that I should teach on today. So what should it be? So that's the question I kind of been asking the Lord in the last couple of weeks preparing for this. And I think we are... in a season that we are just sort of maybe waiting for Pastor Ellis to come back. Maybe that's our posture, or maybe we're questioning, okay, what does growth look like for me as a Christian on my own, right? Or maybe we're saying, I'm just going to maybe go somewhere else for these 3 months, and then I'm just going to come back to Gallery when Pastor Ellis returns. Wherever you find yourself, there's space for that. And I ask that if you are evaluating what the next 3 months of your Christian walk looks like, that you would consider these points in my teaching today. The topic today is called discipleship. I decided to be a little punny, you know. It cannot be microwaved, so I just put microwaved and then crossed it out. I had so much fun doing the slides. I rarely make the slides anymore, so I just wanted to have some fun. The scripture that we are reading today, it's not a whole chapter. It's a couple of verses from the book of Matthew. So I ask that you turn your Bibles or phones to Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now scroll down to Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So we're going to be focusing on two pieces of scripture today. Let's pray before we begin diving into this. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the coming of the new year. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us the opportunity, Lord God, to live another day, Lord God, to have another breath, Lord God, and to spend this Sunday in the family of Christ that we received through coming to you, Lord God, and choosing to follow you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters to our left and to our right. I pray as we are learning more about you, about your character, about what you ask us to do, that we remember that we're not doing it alone, that we have family and community of believers surrounding us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for the scripture that we have that we can use to guide us, to teach us. And I pray, Lord God, as I teach today, that you speak directly to the hearts of those gathered here, Lord God, and online. And use me, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So, some of you know that I came to the U.S. 11 and a half, I guess, years ago to pursue a graduate marketing degree. And the reason I came here for that is because U.S. has historically had some of the best marketing degrees in the world, really, because U.S. Has been leading marketing and advertising in those industries for a couple of decades now, ahead of Europe and other places. So some of the subspecialties in my degree that I considered were branding, marketing strategy or branding strategy, storytelling within marketing, digital marketing, and et cetera. And there were others. And one of the first things that you learn is that in order for your business to be successful, you need to create it by solving a problem of your customer of any sort. And you create a product or a service around that problem, and then you build your marketing strategy, your marketing vision around it. And then you keep telling the story to the customers about how you're solving their problem, how you're catering to their inconvenience, per se. And that is how you gain the customer base, and that is how you increase sales. I'm not in marketing anymore, so I don't work in the field, so I get to sit back and watch as a third party, as a customer, really. And clear vision is the source of clear goals. I would just saved you about 2 years of a marketing degree, so if you're trying to pursue it, just basically do this, and it will be a couple of dollars saved as well on your end. The thing that you're building, your marketing strategy and your advertising dollars, you're spending your advertising dollars on, is the vision. So you are catering to the lifestyle of your customer, right? That was 11 years ago. That's a long time, and there's been a lot of progress. The main progress that I see is the speed at which the marketing campaigns, the marketing outreach, reaches us as customers. So nobody uses snail mail anymore, only scammers. So if you receive a snail mail, just most likely a scam, beware. It's email campaigns. It's a lot of social media advertising that I'm not even going to go into all the channels that are used. I will probably date myself and embarrass myself, so I'm just not going to do that. The thing that is consistent, regardless of the channel, is the speed at which we receive those ads. It's probably a couple of months, maybe a year, for the marketing department to put together a whole strategy of a campaign. But the minute it pushes out, you and I receive it within 2-3 minutes, maybe even faster. And the same thing is happening with the speed at which the goods and services are delivered to us. The minute that we think about wanting something, we have Amazon, we have Target, we have other ways to order something online, and we receive it same day. There is 1 day delivery, there is 2 day delivery. If you see like a 5 day business days delivery, you're like, who are you? Like, are you even a retailer anymore? Like, no, I'm gonna just not order this. I'm gonna go to Amazon, right? Like, that is the standard right now. And we are consuming those products much faster as well. We are thinking about wanting something. We have a problem that needs to be solved. We are going and getting this service or product that solves our problem, and we are receiving it within just a couple of days. And also, we are letting the businesses and the services that we are receiving, we're letting them track our lifestyle so they can tailor the offers that they have to our lifestyle. So, are we ordering during our morning commute? Are we ordering or paying attention to the ads during the sports games of our favorite teams playing? Like yesterday, did you order anything? Are we ordering by just, you know, in the morning when we're first waking up. So all of that is being tracked through Amazon history of orders, through Instagram shops, etc. We are inviting businesses to cater to us, to solve our needs and our problems. And they're doing it faster and faster these days. There's an issue for us as Christians here that we spend, that the speed at which our problems are solved in the world is building a pattern in our lives. We get used to the speed at which things are served to us, delivered to us. And there's a term for this, and as you know, you all know it, it's called instant gratification. However, for us as Christians, it does not correlate to how we are asked to live by the Lord, according to the Word of God, and according to what Jesus has taught his disciples and us. I'm not here to discuss how many packages you get or how you should tailor your shopping habits. You can work that out directly with the Lord. That is not my job. My job here is to point you towards the Lord who calls us to a specific lifestyle, who calls us to a specific job and gives us a job description and tells us how to get it done. We are asked to be transformed. So in the world, we are receiving messages, we are receiving ads, we are receiving products and services at crazy speeds. But we have to understand that as we are doing it, there is a pattern of our lives, right? Like we're used to this now, and we are expecting it in our spiritual life as well. So what we are being fed and at the speed at which we are being fed is now transferring to our prayer closet. And we are building our spiritual disciplines and expecting the same delivery of the Lord. But Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, that means our mind gets a little old, right? We are settling in to what we are used to. We are sitting back and receiving all these goods and services, and the Lord asks us to be transformed. Okay, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. By definition, that means if he's saying this is how you should do it, then by definition, there's going to be a need for us to be testing things and seeing what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So unlike the businesses that are tailoring their vision and their goods and services to fit our lifestyle, you can be sure that the Lord is not tailoring his vision for us. We are being tailored ourselves to fit his vision. It's a totally different lifestyle than that which we live right now. It says, do not be conformed to this world. That means that the things that are going to be offered to you in this world are not necessarily the good and perfect and pleasing will that I have for you. Following Jesus is a lifelong journey. Being a disciple is following Jesus, is stepping into the vision that he gives us. We allow him to shape our hearts, character, values, and actions. The term disciple originates from the Latin word, it's on the screen. It's pronounced discipulus, and it means a learner or follower. In the context of us, in the context of Christianity, it refers to those who follow and learn from Jesus Christ himself. We're not following a plan, a task list. We're not following the checklist of goals that he puts before us. We are following a person who gave us a vision, who had a vision himself when he came on this earth, and he gave us this vision. It says in Matthew 4:18 that we just read, it says, "Come and follow me." This call goes beyond proximity, physical proximity. It calls us to align our lives to his life, align our life and lifestyle to his vision. As we just read in Matthew, it said, it showed examples. They left their nets and they followed him. They left their boat and their net and their father and they followed him. There is an action. There is a sacrifice that's needed. There is obedience that's needed. And it's a lifelong journey. It's not like they went for a day and then they were like, okay, I'm ready to be a disciple. He taught them for a period of time. They followed him for a period of time. When we seek an instant gratification, just result, right? Like when we are expecting things fast in our life, and we use that approach to our Christian walk, we seek to find a tailored, quick solution to becoming a disciple. We will inevitably grow frustrated as our efforts and spiritual fruit take longer to develop than we expect. It says in the book of, really, in the whole New Testament, the word patience is used no fewer than 25 times. And Paul was very famous for putting it in his writing because he knew that it takes patience, it takes endurance, it takes long-suffering. Those are all things that are going the opposite direction of instant, fast, quick, microwavable solutions for our lives. And that is showing us that we need some tailoring to do in our own life, of our lifestyle. Frustration in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual life leads to discouragement. And we are disappointed with the Lord. We're saying, God, what do you mean it cannot be delivered in 1 to 2 days? I mean, I have Amazon Prime for that. Like, how can you not deliver that for me? Prayer takes too long to see the results. I'm not going to waste my time. It takes decades. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just going to go build a plan, and I'm going to follow it. And Lord, please, can you approve my plan? Studying the Bible is too boring. No one around me does it anymore. And it's so outdated that I don't think it's relevant for my life anymore. I'm just going to do a Google search for a life coach in my area, and I'm going to offer a couple of steps, and I'm going to follow a couple of steps that they offer me, and I'm going to achieve whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. I don't need examples of Abraham and Isaac and all the others. And fasting, that's just not good for my metabolism. I mean, I have to tailor my whole workout plan in order to fast. I can't work out on the same schedule anymore. I get a headache. It's just so inconvenient for my life. I don't need that. I mean, what are the results, really, of fasting? I'm being a little sarcastic, but you guys know that's me. And by the way, because this is going to be online and I don't know who's going to be listening, fasting is what I'm talking about here. I understand that fasting is not for everybody, and there are certain people with certain health issues that should not be fasting. Just a caveat, don't come at me and tweet at Gallery Church, she said fasting. We understand. So we may live in the age where instant gratification is talked about, is expected, but the Word of God is telling us that there is such a word called sanctification, and there is no instant sanctification in our Father's kingdom. Discipleship involves a continuous process of us learning and growing. Jesus himself prepared to be a teacher for 29 years of his life. He did not start his ministry as soon as he started to speak, but I'm sure he was qualified at the time because he was the Son of God. But he did not start there. He lived his life for 29 years. He was taught as a student. He then learned and started teaching at the synagogues at the very young age. And then he endured a whole lot of things on this earth in order to show us that he's Emmanuel, God with us, and he understands the problems that we are having. The Bible said he was just like us, like human, fully God and fully human. He experienced every attack of the enemy. He experienced every trouble that we are going through. And there were people chasing after him, trying to kill him. He understands how we can survive 2 days without that thing that we just ordered. He developed over time. He was being prepared. He learned from his earthly father. He learned from his earthly community and from his heavenly father himself, of course. He was a patient teacher. He created the community of disciples by patiently asking them to come follow them. And when they stumbled, when they were afraid, he patiently lifted them up. He did not condemn anyone for making mistakes. He did not condemn that, you know, Peter was trying to cut somebody's ear off. He was correcting them patiently. He was asking them to live a life that follows the vision that he created for them. So now what are we to do? In Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay. Discipleship is not possible if Jesus is not the teacher. We are following not a script that is the Word of God. It's a wonderful script for our life, right? So there are examples. We can learn so many things from our forefathers, from Abraham. We can learn from Paul himself. We can learn from Jesus and how he approached all the things that he faced in his life. However, we are following a person. Discipleship is us following a person, not a plan, and not a human-written Bible. Yes, it is inspired by God and by the Holy Spirit, but in your life, if you are not walking with Jesus daily, you can deviate from how the Bible was written and addressed, and you can tailor it to your own human thinking and your own human lifestyle, and that is dangerous. We are to use the Bible as our guide and see it through the prism of Jesus Christ. Through his eyes, we must see the people. Through his eyes, we must build our community of disciples. And it's imperative that we do that. It says, go and make disciples. It doesn't say consider. It doesn't say, yeah, that you can be fasting for this and see if that fits your lifestyle. It says, go and make disciples. Teaching is a means by which disciples of Jesus are continually transformed, and that includes us as well. Obey, I am with you always. Jesus concludes the commission and the Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew with the crucial element of discipleship, the presence of the Master who is God with us. And he says, go, do all things, and surely I am with you always. I already said it a couple of times, but it's a journey, and it requires a sequence of intentional decisions. And he says that God gives his followers gifts to make them make disciples, to help us create a community of disciples around us. We all will do it differently. So we're not look to the left and to the right and say, that's not how you make disciples. This is how you make disciples. God will use all of your gifts. He placed you in various jobs. He gave you various talents. He gave you understanding of a lifestyle of your neighbor. I'm not living in your neighborhood. You are. Pastor Ellis is not living in your neighborhood. You are. And we cover that in our intentional living class. But it is about you being transformed by the presence of God in your life that is so attractive to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your family member, that they want to hear how you experience God, not how some preacher out there experiences God. They don't know me. They don't know the leaders of our church or another church that you may point them to. We are here to be used in our place where we are put, where we are assigned. Let's call it that. The process of maturing in our faith and becoming more like Christ is our own discipleship. We don't just become a disciple once, and then we are ready to go and make disciples forever. We are, as we are growing and learning and maturing in Christ, inviting our people, our neighbors, our coworkers on this journey with us, where Christ is who we are following. All of us are following him. And it says in Ephesians 4:14 through 16, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It requires of us to build each other up. It requires of us to grow. The Bible says that we are no longer to be infants. We are to be matured Christians, and that takes a process. If I'm speaking in conversation with you and I ask you, let's say I've never met you in my life, and I ask you, what is God speaking to you? What is Jesus speaking to you lately? And you take me to 20, 30 years ago when God first met you and when you got saved and when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as beautiful as that story is, that was 30 years ago. You're telling me that since then, you're not growing in any way, shape, or form with Christ? What is he speaking to you right now? What did he speak to you in January, in December, in November, in October, in September? Yesterday, today? I want to hear that. We all should be asking each other that question because that is a living evidence of us, this microphone. Guys, we talked in October when I last taught that some of you engineers and very talented people need to come up with a way that this mic is not wired. I haven't seen any proposals from any of you. Get going. I need this mic to be unwired. That's it. And those of you online listening, wherever you are, do that as well. So we need the whole body in order to grow. We cannot grow on our own. Because if we're growing on our own, who is asking us? What has the Lord spoken to you recently? Who are we going to encourage? How are we going to know if something is dangerous that we just heard from this online article that we found on our own when we were scrolling and actually does not line up with the Word of God? How would we know that? We need to be under the authority of the community, where we correct each other, when we are walking with each other, and when we fall, we are picking each other up. You do not need to be walking this on your own. The walk of discipleship, Jesus did not walk on his own, and his disciples were not called to do it on their own. He relied on them. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them to pray. Whether they succeeded or not, that's a different question, but he asked them. He was self-sufficient, you guys. He was God, fully God. But he asked them, he relied on them. He said, I need you at this dark hour of my life. We are to do the same. And the last point I want to make is only a disciple can make a disciple. It's not my quote. It's the famous pastor Tozer. He says, it's Jesus's game plan that disciples create disciples who in turn create more disciples. We cannot fabricate our own discipleship status in order to invite someone on this journey. We can't do that, and that's dangerous. We should not be doing that. In order for your life to be interesting, to be contagious in the way that you love the Lord, you need to truly make some choices that will direct you towards Jesus. And as you are doing it daily, invite others to join you. Tailored Christianity to our lifestyle, cheapened grace, lack of sacrifices to be made, convenient lifestyle, self-sufficient approach to life, and lack of consequences for our actions, those are our terms. Something that we expect to be done in a couple of days took Jesus 29 years to develop in his own life. And he maintained the community of disciples for 3 years. That was a personal relationship that he built with them. He called them friends. He called them family. And he did that for 3 years. And that's Jesus. So multiply that by like 1,000 years, then maybe we will achieve it, right? But we are talking about something that takes a long time. It requires patience, long suffering, and not patience like, oh my God, this sister of mine, I cannot deal with her anymore. God, give me patience. That's not like, this is lack of love. God, I love my sister. Increase my love for my sister. Okay, and also give me patience because I am short on patience. Discipleship is not dealing with your neighbor. It's loving your neighbor. We cannot become disciples on our own terms. We have to become disciples on his terms. We choose to follow him, surrender our life to him, and he transforms us. We walk in communion with Christ again and again as we make our daily choices. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So as you're living your first month of the year, I know you have your list of goals. I know you put them together as overachievers that you are, like December 29th, probably. You're like, I am ready. January 1st is going to be like just a couple of days away. I am ready to hit my goals. I'm going to work out this much. I'm going to eat this and not that. And I'm going to do all these other things. That's great. I ask that your goals are aligned to the vision that God is asking you to be a disciple and to make disciples. And specifically, the most effective way to make disciples is a few at a time over time. A few at a time over time. As you make your daily choices, ask these questions. How will this thing that I'm looking for, or this choice that I make, help me grow as a disciple of Christ? Or how is this choice advancing the characteristics of being a disciple? And our prayer is, in everything I do every day, may it reflect my goal of maintaining my own discipleship status and grow, as well as invite others for the journey.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to GowrieChurchBaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.